Welcome to South Sound Money Talks. We're here to tackle the confusing topics, answer your questions, and prevent all those late night Google sessions about money. This podcast is made possible by Pierce County's original member-owned TAPCO Credit Union. I'm your host, Sarah. How many Pierce County-based ghost stories do you know? I've heard of a few. There's this rumor that the plaster faces over the stage at the Pantages Theater can actually change their expressions. And then there's this tale about a rowboat that disappeared in Commencement Bay right where a ship capsized in 1899. Of course, there's also all the ghost stories that surround Thornwood Castle. That place is spooky enough that it's currently being used by Netflix as a model for one of the houses in The Haunting of Bly Manor. But those are pretty much all I know of. I am friends with a few folks who are super into this kind of thing, though, so I invited two of them on the TAPCO podcast today to learn more. Michael Sullivan is a beloved local historian, and he runs the Tacoma History Blog. And you might already know Chris Stottinger. He's the owner of Pretty Gritty Tours, and he has a background as a travel writer and videographer. Hey, guys. Thank you both for joining me today.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Likewise.
Michael, why do you think it is that people are drawn to the spookier side of Tacoma's past?
Oh, I think it's just human nature to love a good spooky story. But I think in Tacoma, you know, we don't think about this, but we really are a seaport. And we've always been a seaport. And I just can't think of a better place to spin a yarn than the way The Heart of Darkness, Joseph Conrad's book, starts with this group of guys sitting in the hole of a boat. And there's just the light of a lantern that's sort of swinging with the water outside. And they go around kind of just barely their faces illuminated. And they begin to spin stories, to tell stories to one another. And they kind of lean into the light a little bit when their turn comes. And then finally, you know, the last storyteller, the spooky one, doesn't come into the light. You just hear the voice. And he says, you know, you've all told great stories, you know, stories about traveling around the world and sailing everywhere, but I've been to the heart of darkness. You know, it's just this great way to, and I think about the waterfront in Tacoma that way, where in the bars and the restaurants and on the waterfront and in the hulls of ships for hundreds of years, people have sat and told the great stories of the world, the great scary stories of the world.
Chris, do you think this is why guests are especially interested in your haunted tours?
I mean, there is just something intrinsic about it. There's an inescapable pull to the supernatural. And I think it's our desire to do and be better. When we listen to ghost stories, we reflect on the things that all the impulses that we have inside of us, and we remind each other in a group setting of what not to do and of the consequences of following those impulses sometimes.
It's an interesting take on it. Any specific stories you have to share from your guests on a tour or your own travels?
You know, of all the places that have recalibrated my belief in the paranormal, strangely enough, Stadium High School is the one that continues to pull me back. When we did the tour of the building, you know, the people that worked there always told me that there was this ghost that would wander around the hallways that looked like a little girl. And I think I was kind of skeptical in the beginning, but over the years of doing it, more and more I would see this, like, just looked like a fleeting shape going around the corners. And one night I was kind of making fun of the fact that I was like, there's a ghost in the building, but don't panic. And the next night that I was doing the tour, I put down my equipment in the teacher's lounge, and went around the building to unlock all the doors. And when I came back, all of my equipment had been thrown like all across the room. And I asked the security officer at the school if they could go back and see like who had been messing with my stuff. And you can watch the footage. At exactly 5 o'clock, I leave the room and go through the building. You watch me go down the hallway unlocking all the doors. And then 5 minutes later, from a different part of the school, you can watch me walk back into the room, dump out all this stuff, and then exit through the front door while I'm on the other side of the building, still on the security camera.
So wait, are you saying you can watch yourself do it even though you didn't do it?
Yeah. there's two versions of me on the security camera at the same timestamp on different parts of the school. And that has shaken me to my core.
That is some scary stuff, I can imagine. Wow. Have you ever taken ghost hunters in there with the equipment they use?
Yeah. We used to have groups that would come and do, particularly in the basement, to look around. And in the boiler room in the sub-basement, people get all sorts of weird, like, electromagnetic voices on tape. And the pipes will knock back. Like, you can have full conversations and you'll get like one or two knocks back on the boiler pipes down there.
Wow. I don't know if I would want to go down there with you.
Yeah, I might have left a bad impression in that particular poltergeist's mind. So
yeah, take some maybe notes. Don't mock ghosts going forward.
I've learned that the hard way.
Michael, for everyone watching the new Witches movie, let's get into the story of Rebecca Carr Staley. What's the tale?
Well, she's the mother of Tacoma. Anybody who knows Carr Street, Old Town, we know about the Carr family, Job Carr, you know, the first sort of white settler to come here and intrude on what had been native land for thousands of years. And Job was a Quaker and a free thinker. He got married before the Civil War and to Rebecca, his wife, Rebecca Carr. They had four kids, and then the Civil War broke out. They both had a fascination with the Underground Railroad and being part of freeing slaves, and also in some open ideas that were radical at the time. Women's suffrage, for one, and the other one was spiritualism, the idea that you could stay in touch with your dead relatives. This is pre-Victorian, but even, you know, Queen Victoria wanted to stay in touch with Prince Albert after he died, or King Albert after he died. So they came out of that kind of way of thinking. Rebecca followed Job and her two sons into the Civil War. She became a nurse and just really endured and saw all of the ugliness, the fog of war and the slaughter, the meat grinder of the Civil War. And after the war, actually before the war was even over, Job and one of his sons, Anthony, came out to Commencement Bay. Rebecca divorced Job, which was very unusual in those days in the 1860s, and remarried Mr. Staley, eventually went to California. Job and the rest of the family, her two sons and two daughters, both eventually came out and started Tacoma in the Old Town. And Rebecca continued her interest in women's suffrage and in spiritualism. She saw herself as a seeress, and
was that a seerist, as in someone who can
a
see?
A seeress, S-E-E-R-E-S-S.
Okay.
A seer. She was also found herself kind of a sorceress. She believed that she could make potions and not just affecting people's physical well-being, but their emotional and spiritual well-being as well. She talked about foreseeing the death of her daughter and her grandchild in 1875. Rebecca was still living in California. The rest of the family was up here in Tacoma in 1875. Tragically, her daughter and there with her baby, still a babe in arms, literally, were on the unfortunate ship that sunk off of Cape Flattery. 400 or 500 people died in that. Maybe it wasn't quite that many, but. Hundreds of people died in that wreck. She supposedly kind of foresaw that. And after that tragedy, she moved to Tacoma and set up shop in a little cottage down in down in Old Town, right around the corner from where Job and his new wife were living, his mail order wife were living. And she lived with her cats and her oceans in a little house there on what would be 30th today, 30th and Carr Street, approximately. She grew herbs and plants outside, and she told fortunes. She and sailors and waterfront people and young women to be married and anybody who wondered about the future would come and sit with Rebecca, this sort of Circe figure in Old Town. And it really did kind of give Old Town a sort of ancient, oracle kind of quality that I think has kind of stayed with it. I can't go and have a beer at the spa without somehow thinking about the future and the past a little bit through Rebecca's eyes.
Wow. There really is a lot that has gone on in that area specifically. What's one of your favorite stories that doesn't get told as frequently?
Oh boy. There's, I'm a historian. So when we get into the world of, I'll leave this up to Chris to talk about the sort of supernatural. My interest tends to be in the history of what people think of in terms of stories about ghosts rather than ghosts themselves. Plus, if I could establish the factual existence or non-existence of ghosts as a historian, it would wreck it for everybody. So it's good that I don't. You know, I've heard so many great stories. One, what I always struck me by was the story of the Blue Men, which in the days when the Asarco Mill was going, there was a whole group of employees who worked in the worked around the arsenic tanks. And over time, they developed a resistance to the arsenic they were working with, but it changed the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. And so it was, and it supposedly sort of, this is indelicate, but it dulled their wits, their senses a little bit. And there are stories about school kids that would be down around the Asarco Mill, and these sort of almost zombie-like Blue Men would walk by. And at the end of the day in winter when it was dark, that was a scary thing, a scary story. Another one that always has struck me was when after the Medicine Creek Treaty in 1855 and the seizure of the lands from the indigenous people here. The tribes were pretty well limited to the reservation lands they were given. And one of the great omissions for the Puyallups here were some of the areas that had traditionally been burial areas for the native people here, indigenous people. In Ruston, in the forests at Ruston and even up into where we are in Point Defiance today, one long tradition were sky burials, which was a way of honoring a person who was of stature as far as the Maritimes go. And they would put a canoe, usually a carved cedar canoe, up in the trees as a burial. A number of those burials were still there when the Puyallups were forced onto the reservation. And so for a generation or two, walking through the woods, of course, the scary story told in the WPA guide is of one of those canoes finally rotting to a point where it fell out of the tree to the alarm of one of the people who was in the forest underneath. So anyway, go on forever, but that couple of them there.
Those are ones I hadn't heard before, and they're pretty good ones. So Halloween is coming up. Chris, tell us about your virtual tour offerings.
We're really digging into the virtual experience these days. So we are coming up with one on Bucoda, the small town of Bucoda, just outside of Tenino, mm-hmm. and about the strange happenings out there as the first territorial penitentiary for the Washington Territory. It's got a lot of great stories attached to it. And we're also rehashing some of our other ones. We're looking back into Steilacoom, and then we actually do have one on Old Town and Rebecca Carr coming up here in early November.
Have you done virtual tours that were along this theme previously?
I mean, there's a Venn diagram to everything mm-hmm. we do, really. I mean, each story in Tacoma is somehow attached to another one. So we dip into little pieces of previous stories, but each one is its own path.
All right. I happen to know that your tours are available on YouTube and other places on the internet. And I want to make sure that people know that even if they can't catch you something you're doing live, they can always watch it later on, correct?
Correct. So our whole collection of virtual tours is always on our Facebook and YouTube channels, as well as on prettygrittytours.com.
Okay. Michael, how can people find some of the best stories on your blog?
Well, I got a good, robust search engine thanks to WordPress. So upper right, little magnifying glass, and you can search by just about any question. My blog is tacomahistory.live. And lots of pictures and biographies and stories about a number of people we didn't get to talk about today.
Right. Anything else to share from either of you?
That's the big stuff right now, I think. I don't want to give away any endings before people come out and listen to a good ghost story.
Yeah. Michael and Chris, thank you so much for being here today and for introducing us to some hair-raising history. Listeners, have a safe and fun Halloween. You can get into the spirit of the season with a virtual tour with Pretty Gritty Tours or follow Michael's blog at tacomahistory.live. TAPCO is pleased to bring you local stories like these. We're also ready to help you keep your finances from getting into a scary place. Visit tapcocu.org. Thanks, guys.
That was awesome. Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
That's our episode for today. Be sure to check out our other episodes on the streaming platform of your choice and subscribe if you like what you hear.
Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender.
All loans subject to approval.